I told someone in the lobby that I don't know what I was thinking when I started this controversial topic stuff. And tonight, there is no night more true than that topic we're going to deal with tonight. I am truly overwhelmed by this topic in so many ways, I can't even tell you. And so tonight I'm going to speak from the heart. I might go all over the place. I'm not exactly sure. The structure I have in place doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense half the time as I delve into this particular topic. But I was standing there, and I was asking myself, and I was asking God, God, where do I even begin tonight? Where do I even start? Because this one is just that big and that deep, seated, especially in our culture, in the hearts of people in this very room. And God shouts at me the last song that Sean just picked. You know, Sean and I never talk about what songs he's going to pick to match up with what I'm going to do, and he doesn't really know what I'm doing. And that's the song God gave him. And let me just tell you, let me just start with this. Before we do anything else, if you and I could even grasp in some small way the depths of God's love for us, we wouldn't even be sitting having this discussion tonight. If we could understand how deeply God loves us, 99% of every issue you deal with in life would disappear. Because God's love for you is such an extraordinary thing, and it would so deeply impact you if you could fully grasp it, that all of the human needs that tend to drive us so deeply into the things we do would simply fade away, and we would rest in the love of our God. So just know this, wherever we go tonight, and however difficult this night will become, God's love for you is extraordinary and everlasting and deep in a way you couldn't possibly grasp as a human being, and he will continue to demonstrate that for you as your life continues on. So we jump tonight into divorce and remarriage, and that is the topic we're going to delve into. And I got to tell you, as we jump into this particular topic, much as people will think that the topic begins with the ideas of divorce and remarriage, this topic needs to go way back before divorce and remarriage ever gets onto the table. And we need to start with a different word. We need to start with the word marriage. Because marriage is really what tonight's topic is about. It is not so much about divorce as much as it is about marriage. Because marriage is a relationship that is so deep in God's heart and such a critical part of what God is unfolding and has been unfolding on this planet from the day that he began with us, that it is a relationship so critical to what he is demonstrating that if we lack understanding in that, we will never understand why he feels the way he does about divorce. So let's just begin with marriage as perhaps a reminder to some of you and perhaps a beginning, an eye-opener to some others of you. In order to fully understand and grasp the extent of marriage, though we need to travel through all of Scripture, a place that we can summarize it quickly is in the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, we find out in chapter 5 that God speaks there of the incredible call that marriage is both to the husband and to the wife. And as he speaks it out in chapter 5, this is what he said, "Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you should also love his wife as he loves himself, and wives must respect her husband." So this entire passage, as we talked about in the past, is a passage not so much about marriage as much as it is a passage about Christ and the church. And remember that as we begin this discussion on divorce, we've got to start with this idea that when God established the marriage covenant, he established that covenant to be a reflection and a picture of Christ's love for the church and the church's love for Christ. So you can begin to imagine the importance and the magnitude of this particular relationship. God takes that magnitude to a whole nother level when he says to us, when a man and a woman come together in marriage, they make covenant before me, and the two become one, and they become one flesh. They become as though they are one person. And you can try to begin to imagine what it would mean to take one person and to tear one person in half. If you do that, that person does what? They die. It's really simple. It's not a trick question. You tear your body in two and it dies. So when God starts talking about marriage and he starts talking about the magnitude of this connection and this covenant, and he talks about the magnitude of this covenant in view of the church and what God is doing in the church, you start getting the sense that there is something much bigger going on here in this covenant than simply a neat relationship God created for two people to have together. It is into that relationship that we step into when we start talking about divorce and remarriage. Divorce, by definition, is then when this particular covenant relationship is broken for some reason other than death, all right? So if one of the parties dies physically, that is not divorce. But any other reason that the marriage covenant is broken, we're walking into the world of divorce. Now, I can tell you a couple of things right off the bat about divorce that I am certain of. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God hates divorce. He hates it with a passion. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it for you. He doesn't want it for the world. Divorce is in every way opposite to what God intended for us to experience and for us to see from the perspective of the picture of marriage. Divorce breaks the covenant relationship that God established with such purpose in a way that God absolutely despises the fact that divorce is even part of the equation. It is not something that God likes. You know, I was looking at statistics today. It was really funny. I jump online because you guys have heard the statistics, right? 50% of marriages end in divorce. 66% of second marriages end in divorce. 76% of third marriages end in divorce, okay? So you look at those statistics, and I got onto a secular site because we always read the Christian stuff, and I'm like, I wonder if that's really, really, really true. So I get onto a secular site that does all the stuff, and they go, you know what? All these conservative Christian types, they all use these stats, 50%, 66%, 76%. They're just not true. They're just simply not true. The stats are not that way, and so they write the real stats down. It's 46%. It's 66% is actually accurate, and 73%, not 76%. They were very, very adamant about the fact that only 73% of third marriages end up in divorce, not 76% of third marriages. I mean, I looked at the site, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You're arguing with me about 2% when you're talking about numbers like 73% or 76%. The horror of divorce, if you're sitting in this room and you have walked through divorce, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The devastation and wake that divorce leaves in its path is unbelievable. I mean, I read statistics this week on what divorce does in the lives of children. I was going to go through it, and I thought if I go through that, it would be so depressing it won't even be worth it. I mean, it is unbelievable the damage that divorce creates in a society, that divorce creates in a family, that divorce creates in children, that divorce creates in a single person's life. God did not want us to end up in divorce. Just didn't want it to happen. He wants the marriage covenant to stand and to stand strong and to last its way through an entire lifetime. That's what God's intent is. Now, when we walk into the issue of divorce, we tend to walk into divorce with this question, right? As we walk in. If I'm going to walk into a marriage and things are not working out so well for me for a number of different reasons, what is permissible for me in order to get out? In other words, tell me the rules. Lay out for me the rules. If I'm going to be in a marriage, I just need to know, what makes it okay to get divorced? I know God hates divorce, and that's great, but what is it, where is it, does it become permissible? And then, as we step over from the divorce line, once divorced, the next question then becomes, since I am divorced, what is permissible as far as getting remarried? When we walk into an equation from that perspective, and I'm just laying foundation here for you, and then we're going to go into all the details. It's a very interesting perspective to walk into any equation when it comes to God's word. Because by definition, if you walk into something that God is laying out and you're asking questions like, how do I get out of this? And if I'm out of this, how do I get to do what I want on this side? You've already walked into the equation with a very interesting attitude. And the attitude is, basically, what is the law for me to be able to do what I need to do if things aren't going so well? And then once the law is established, I can try and figure out within that whether any of those things are being broken or not. It is very rare that we walk into the equation saying, God, what is it that you desire that would bring you honor and glory in this situation and tell me how to pull that off? And it doesn't really matter to me what the law says. What matters to me is what you desire for me and what you desire for the world in terms of your glory and what you want. Do you see the difference in those two attitudes? Now, I say that to say this. Today, we're going to step into some of the details of divorce and remarriage. But I want to warn you ahead of time. If you're walking into this to try and figure out whether something you've done or want to do or want to get into is going to be permissible, you're already standing on shaky ground because you've already walked in with the wrong attitude. If you're walking into this to say, stuff happens and sin happens and I'm caught in the middle of it, how do I glorify God despite all of this? Then you're walking in with the right attitude and then we can talk because then we're going to get some real progression here as we walk through the difficulties of sin. So let's just be honest for a second. God hates divorce, but divorce still happens. Are we with me? I mean, I think that's a fair thing to say. People find themselves in terrible places on this planet. A divorce is one of them because sin happens and it takes its toll and it destroys things. And one of the things that the enemy is most intent on destroying on our planet is marriage. Why? Because marriage is what reflects the relationship of Jesus to the church. And if he can destroy marriage, he destroys what the world will think of when they're thinking of Christ in the church. And so, of course, marriage is where he wants to begin and create destruction. And he is succeeding. So as we walk into marriage, there are two primary schools of thought out there that lie on the side of the conservative in marriage and divorce and remarriage. We're going to deal with those two exclusively because anything beyond these two is on a side that I'm not even willing to step because it goes into such liberal and nonsense in terms of what's allowed for divorce. So we're going to stay on this side with the two primary schools of thought. The first school of thought says that there are particular arenas in which divorce is permissible because of certain circumstances. However, it is never what God actually wants. It is just something that ends up being absolutely unavoidable because of one of the spouses in the equation. But once divorced, there is never a time when remarriage is permissible after divorce. That's one school of thought right there. The second school of thought says that there are occasions when divorce is permissible. Again, same as the first school of thought. And under certain circumstances within that permissible realm, there is a place where remarriage is also permissible outside of death. Those are the two schools of thought. Now, I want you to know, if you go and do research on this, it is overwhelming in many ways because there are books written by brilliant theologians on both sides of what I've just mentioned. Now, there's other views as well, but may I just say, for the sake of this room, there is no view beyond those two views that I am even willing to walk into because those are the only two views that, in my opinion, as I've studied, have any validity biblically. That was a tongue twister right there. Because there is nothing outside of the permissible steps that the Bible lays out for divorce that we can go beyond. So let's talk a little bit as we walk into divorce and we walk into remarriage what these particular steps are. Okay? Now, can anybody here tell me the most obvious one that you might say is permissible for divorce? At what point would we say divorce is permissible? Adultery. Okay, there you go. So we know scripturally that when we're walking into this issue of marriage, one of the things that has become clear scripturally is that in a relationship, if one of the spouses commits adultery, That they are, that they basically fornicate. At that point, the party that did not is given permission to experience divorce, to divorce the person that that committed adultery. We know this because when Jesus is talking about divorce in Matthew, he is asked by the Pharisees, what about the whole issue of divorce? Because in the Old Testament, Moses had written in the law and said that you can present a paper for divorce, hand it to the person you're divorcing, and we'll be done with that. He's asked about it by the Pharisees, and he says, he actually begins in Matthew by saying, wait a second, let's talk about this. What did God establish marriage for? Let's turn there for a second. Let's go to Matthew for a second. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. All right. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we see Jesus speaking here, and he says this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, why do I read that? Because you can start establishing the direction that Jesus is going here, right? He's taking what was black and white in the law, and he is raising the bar on this stuff. Then he says this in verse 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. There it is. That's where we get this first part in Matthew, where Jesus is speaking, and he speaks about this concept of divorce, and he teaches on it. Now, out of that, what we call exception clause, we get this idea that people can get divorced and remarried if adulterous relationships is part of this. As you go further on, there are two sections later on in the other Gospels that also speak to the same thing, but they do not have the exception clause in them. They simply say that that if a man and a woman want to get divorced, he's asked about that, and Jesus says, listen, here's the deal. God brought these two together so that they could be in marriage. What God has put together, let no man break apart. That's what Jesus answers the questions in the other Gospels. We also find teaching on this in several other places in Scripture, which we'll get into in a little bit. But here's the deal. We establish this first clause that says, okay, if I'm in a situation where my spouse is cheating on me, at that point I'm given permission to get a divorce. It's one of the permissible exceptions for divorce. So we've taken that and we've walked down that road, but the question that we need to ask is there a point where Jesus says if something happens like this, like adultery, that divorce is something you should get into, something you should do? So let's go back for a second to the idea of marriage, right? What is marriage established to do? Anybody? It's established to last. Sorry, that was kind of a trick question, maybe. It's established to last. It is a covenant till when? When you say your vows, what do you say? Till death do us part. Jesus' intent for marriage is that we would start a covenant that no matter what happens during the covenant, that during that process, until death does us part, we will make it to the end. Then he says, in the idea that something goes desperately wrong and your spouse cheats on you, that and only that, there is a permissibility for divorce. Now, there's one other exception to the clause that people jump onto as well. Anybody tell me outside of adultery? What? Abuse somewhat, yes? That's right. That's right. The one other clause that we find is when you are in a marriage and one of the people in the marriage is an unbeliever, they don't know Christ, and the other person either becomes a believer or knows Christ, then if the person who does not know Christ wants to get out of the marriage and they want to leave and they leave you and there's no ability for reconciliation, that then they can leave and you are then set free from that marriage covenant. So then you are allowed to walk out and get a divorce because your non-believing spouse wants nothing to do with you. So they're taking off. So here are the two primary exceptions, if we talk about exceptions in Scripture, that people in this camp stand on. If the non-believer wants to leave and you can't reconcile, or if your spouse has cheated on you and you cannot reconcile. Now, again, let me just step into this carefully. I don't have a ton of time tonight to unpack all of these, but we'll get into some of them a little bit. But let me just stress again as we walk into this. When you walk out of marriage into divorce, you walk into an incredibly complex situation, because divorce, by definition, is a result of sin, always. Divorce is not something that's part of the equation that God put into play in Genesis, is it? Marriage was not a result of sin, was it? When did God establish the marriage covenant? He established it with Adam and Eve, remember this? And he established it before we even had the issue of sin. But divorce comes into play after we are in a process where sin has its way. So because divorce is always going to be a result of the sinful actions of some party in the process, it is something that sin is trying to destroy. So what God calls us to is, when we step into that complex world of divorce, it is a world as a believer and a Christ follower that we need to tread into incredibly carefully. In fact, we need to tread into that world with the greatest amount of wise counsel around us that we could possibly have, because that world gets complex very quickly. And because we are human, and because divorce is so tied to hurt and pain and struggle and difficulty, divorce is something that quickly derails the way we think as a believer, and we can quickly fall our way into a process where we feel justified in things that we're doing, and we start taking stands again by permissibility. This is permissible, so I'm doing this. When in fact, God's desire for us in divorce or in marriage is to constantly fight for what? For the marriage. That's what we're fighting for. We're not fighting to be set free. We're not fighting to have our way. We're fighting for the marriage. And until that becomes absolutely and completely unchangeable, that's the fight that we're in. So if you're sitting here today and you are a Christ follower, your first call when it comes to marriage is to make sure that you are fighting for your marriage constantly. Doesn't matter what circumstances are playing out in your marriage, you're fighting for the marriage. Now, I will say this. When we're talking about specific circumstances in marriage, there are some things that happen in marriages that get very ugly and very bad. And fighting for your marriage does not always mean that you need to stay in your marriage. I'm going to read for you a couple of things that I put down here as we talk about specifics in terms of divorce. And I just want to touch base on a couple of things that gives you the ability to start talking about possible scenarios where divorce becomes not only permissible, but part of the equation. First of all, divorce may be permitted when a spouse deserts the relationship, commits adultery, or is dangerously abusive. We find that in 1 Corinthians 7, in chapter 7, primarily in verse 15 and verse 11, in Matthew 19:9, and in 1 Corinthians 7:11, for those particular three things. When they desert the relationship, commit adultery, or are dangerously abusive. Now, remember, let me just get back for a second. Those are specific issues that allow for the process of divorce to take place. But divorce was never intended in Scripture to be something final. It is, in fact, if under these circumstances you get caught in this particular world, the process of divorce, if it does happen in a marriage, is something that is supposed to be driven toward reconciliation. God's intent is always for a divorce, if it were to happen, to work toward reconciliation between the two spouses so that they can come together. Now, in that process of reconciliation, again, if you are a Christ follower and your attitude is to honor God, you are pursuing reconciliation with your spouse, despite the fact that your spouse may have done some things that they should not have done. And as you're pursuing reconciliation with your spouse, if your spouse gets remarried to somebody else, at that point, your spouse has now killed all ability for you to reconcile the marriage. Because once remarried to somebody else, the Bible says they cannot get unremarried from that person so that you can get remarried to them. You with me so far? Because that, if you go back into Deuteronomy, there's some very specific laws there about the fact that once two people get married in a second marriage and one of them dies, the spouse that was the original person can't get remarried to the spouse that's now single again. So do you understand how complex this starts becoming? This is starting to get really, really hairy, right? Because you're walking in and you're like, wait a second. So there's some exceptions to this, but the exceptions are very specific. And those exceptions that are specific have to be specific with a particular kind of attitude. And the attitude that I'm supposed to have as I walk into this is an attitude of reconciliation until at a certain point, my spouse who has run away from me gets remarried, at which point then I can't reconcile. So then I think I'm free to get remarried. Is that fairly complex? And I haven't even started digging into the complexities of this. So as we go into this process and we say, okay, under these particular circumstances and under this world of complexity, there's all sorts of navigations as you walk through this. And that's if you're even in the camp that says remarriage is an option after divorce under certain circumstances, which some would say is not the case. If you are in this camp, the complexities and difficulties of the attitude walking into remarriage is so incredibly complex and difficult. So as a Christ follower, as you walk into this world of divorce and remarriage, and you start toying with that, certain things should start blinking in your mind in a huge way. It should start here. For those of you in this room that are currently married. This is your first marriage, you're in it, and you're married. Let me give you a piece of advice. Work with all of your might to make that marriage a great marriage. Work to stay in that marriage. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, because that's what you're called to. Wives, submit and respect your husbands as the church submits and respects Christ, because that's what you're called to. Work as hard as you can by the power of the Holy Spirit to work on that marriage and to make it work well. Because if you step out of that marriage into the world of divorce, you step into such a big mess, it's unbelievable. And under that mess, you are complicating and creating waves in a world that God does not want us to create waves, especially in the church, because marriage is a covenant so dear to His heart. If you're in this room and you're not married yet, and you're single, or you're engaged, or you're on the process of getting married, this should be blinkers going off all over your mind, going, wait a second. One of the reasons that we get into marriages that then end in divorce is because we don't take the appropriate steps and time to get into the marriage properly. We get married to people we shouldn't get married to because we're jumping into relationships that the Bible specifically speaks against, and we start getting into a world of mess before we've even gotten married. We jump into marriages too quickly. We jump into marriages without thinking through the processes. We jump into marriages without wise counsel. And then we find ourselves in marriages that are a mess and we wonder why. See, what God wants for us before we even start entering into the mess of divorce is to say, hey, divorce is so messy and this world is so painful, both to children and to the parties involved, that what you want to make sure you do is that on the process of getting married, you do it biblically and you do it well and you do it right. And you seek wise counsel, and you have people dig into you. Here at Mosaic Church, we will not even touch the process of marrying anybody unless they have gone through a process of premarital counseling with one of our staff. And even after that premarital counseling, when they're done with that premarital counseling, especially if I'm marrying them, I'll talk to that staff person, or if I've done the counseling, and unless they give me a green light and say, this couple, I think this couple can get married. I think they understand what they're getting into, and they have a great handle on a biblical marriage. I don't even touch that thing. Why not? Because if you step into a marriage that has not been put together with the biblical process, you set yourself up for trouble before you've even begun. If you're in a marriage right now and your marriage is struggling and there's a process going on, then it is your duty as a Christ follower to begin a battle to fight for that marriage. I was thinking about the book of Hosea today. I don't know if you guys know much about the book of Hosea, but it is a book where God calls a prophet, and the prophet gets a wife, and the wife cheats on him and becomes a prostitute. And God comes to him and says, I want you to go and win her back. And he has to go and he has to win this woman back. And he says to God, wait a second, this is insane. I mean, she's left me. She wants nothing to do with me. She just wants to go and be a prostitute. And he goes, I want you to go and win her back. So Hosea works with all of his heart to win his cheating spouse back to him. And God uses that as a picture in Hosea to say, my people constantly cheat on me with other gods. And yet my heart is to win them back. In marriages, whatever's going on in your marriage, God is calling you to work as hard as you can to build that marriage and to build it well. If you're in a marriage where there is abuse of any kind, significant physical abuse or dangerous abuse, then certainly living in that marriage in your home is a really, 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 really bad idea. But it doesn't mean that we can't work on that marriage. It just means that it is a really bad idea to be in that house. And then we need to make changes there and get the church involved. And we need to start working towards something that brings health into that marriage. This is the rule by which we ought to live. Marriages matter. We fight for them with all our heart. We stick to them. And if there's a marriage that's in trouble, or there's a spouse that's cheating, or there's things going on in that marriage that shouldn't, then we work as hard as we can as a couple and as a church to reconcile and to fix those things. If that means there has to be a period of separation, then that's what that means, and we work toward that. Now, we get into some interesting territory, because in this room and outside of this room, there's a large amount of people that have already stepped out of a marriage and they are already divorced. They're done. The divorce has happened. It's over. So we can't work on the marriage and we can't fight for the marriage because the marriage is already over. In those cases, we step into these worlds where, as a Christ follower, as you walk into the world of saying, I'm divorced, here I am, what do I do now? My circumstances played out the way that they did. I'm already here, where do I go from here? If you are in a situation where you are divorced and you are not remarried yet, that is that beautiful and difficult and delicate place to find yourself, where you are now alone and you're in a world where you're walking into some very, very scary territory in many ways. Because you're walking into the territory where you wonder now what is permissible and what is not. Can I ever get remarried? Can I not? How does all of that work? Not only that, but it is likely if you've walked into divorce one time, outside of some very exceptional times, you've walked into divorce, there's already a pattern at play now, either in you or your spouse or the marriage as a whole, that leads to some very significant dishealth. Why do we know that? Take a look at the statistics again. How many marriages end in divorce first time? 45%. On the second marriage, how many? 66%. Does that tell you something? Most people that get remarried find themselves in a bigger mess once they're remarried than they were in the first marriage. And if you happen to be walking into a third marriage, statistics show that it's 73% at that point. Why? Because people that have gotten into a pattern of divorce stay in a pattern of divorce. Because sin, when it is a pattern process, is something that eats its way into your life. Whether it is sin you've committed or sin your spouse has committed, that process of broken covenant is something that makes it easier to break covenant the next time around. And God does not want us to break covenant the first time, let alone the second or third. So at that point, if you are divorced and you are single, this is when you have to step into this world with such a sense of attitude toward Christ and glorifying Christ and doing what is right biblically, because it is in that world that you will find freedom. And in order to walk through that world, that is when the church more than ever should come into play. It is tragic to me, honestly tragic to me, how impotent the church is in these issues and how little the church plays in the role of men and women that have walked into these issues. The elders of the church and the leaders of the church are put into place to become the wise counsel for someone as they're walking through these processes, because there are biblical processes to take place here, and there are processes one has to walk through as a divorced person to walk you into being sure that the steps you're taking are biblical steps. And in order to know what those are, you have to submit yourself to the process and leadership of a healthy biblical church leadership, because that church leadership can walk you through it. Now, as you walk into that as a divorced person and you come to the church and you say to the leadership of the church, a healthy biblical church,
I want to do this right. That church leadership should sit with you and then say, okay, let's start examining what happened here and how this thing came down. And as they examine it and they go through it carefully and they dissect the process of divorce, they can start coming up with where the problems are, and we can see first, what do we do first? If we can create reconciliation. If reconciliation is impossible because a spouse is remarried, or because that spouse is completely unwilling, then the church, based on those circumstances, can walk you through the next step. If, on the other hand, you are here and you are now remarried, you were divorced once and you are now in a second marriage, that puts you in a whole nother category, because you've now walked out of one covenant and you've walked into another covenant. So what does God say about walking into a covenant relationship, a second marriage, if you've done that now, and you already say, hold on a second, in the first marriage, I don't know for sure if I did that whole thing right. I don't know for sure if I got out of that marriage correctly. Now, if you're here and you got out of the marriage because your spouse cheated on you, then you may say, well, I'm going to raise my hand and say, I was fine because my spouse cheated on me. But the reality is, that's one of the things that we need to be so careful about, because these things are not a matter of black and white permissibility. These things are about an attitude of the heart that is about glorifying Christ and the church and allowing our lives to do that. So just because I know several cases where somebody didn't have that great of a marriage. One of the spouses cheated on them and they were like, sweet! That's exactly what I needed. I'm a Christ follower, so I needed a biblical precedent to get out of this crazy mess. And so they walk around with their hands raised high going, oh, yeah, my spouse cheated on me. And then God comes along in Hosea, and God comes along in Scripture, and God says, I hate divorce. I want you to work on this. I want you to reconcile this. I want you to fight for your spouse. I can tell you right now, if you got out of a marriage because a spouse cheated on you and you made no effort for reconciliation, then there is still a problem there that's significant, even if you fall into the camp of believing that there is a place for remarriage. You see, that's why I'm saying it is so important to walk through this delicate process with wise counsel who can examine and study and help you understand what's going on in your marriage. If you walk into divorce or a divorce situation with an attitude that wants to honor Christ, Christ will honor you through the process. If you walk in trying to figure out how you can get what you need out of this, you're going to walk into some huge traps, and you're going to kill a second marriage and then a third marriage and so on and so forth. So here you are, you're divorced, you're remarried. What do you do now? Let's just say that you are here and you are remarried to a second person now or a third person, and you're sitting in this room going, I think I blew it. I think I messed up. How do we deal with that? Is divorce and remarriage the unforgivable sin? That's really the big question, right? I mean, once you get into this one, if the Bible says that if you get into a second marriage, you have committed adultery now with that person because they were an adulteress and now you're an adulterer and all that is true, where on earth do you go with that? Well, what do we do in our lives with any sin that has made its way into our lives? What does God say we need to do with sin? We need to confess. And confess is a recognition of sin, and confession is a turning away or a renouncing of that sin, saying, this is something I did, this was wrong, it was unbiblical, it wasn't what I was supposed to do, but I recognize that now, I'm aware of that, and I want to live my life honoring God, and I want to make sure this works. In God's world, one of the incredible, unbelievable things about God is that no matter how badly we mess this stuff up on our planet, God walks into the picture and says, listen, there is this incredible thing called the redemptive process that can take the biggest mess men make and women make and redeem what they have done. Do you realize that Israel, at a certain point in their history, came to God and said, listen, we want a king. We want to have a king. And you remember what God said to Israel? You do not want a king, because a king is not the plan that would lay out for you where you want to go. Let me be your king, and as I am your king, I will walk with you through this. And what did Israel say? We still want a king. We don't want you to be our king. We want a king. So they chose Saul, right? And Saul completely messed everything up. And what did God do with that? Did God come through Saul and then say, okay, are we done with the whole king thing now? No, what did God do? He established David as the next king. And what did David end up being? The very avenue through which the Messiah would come to the planet and we would all have an incredible redemption through Jesus. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, at that moment, if you talk about a victory in the life of the enemy, that was the greatest victory. Killing the Savior and using man to do it. And what did God do in the middle of that great and terrible thing? It turns out that that very victory was the very process through which humankind would be redeemed forever through the blood of Jesus. So here's my point. God has a history of taking a mess and using it for great good in the human heart and mind. And God will do the same in your life. When you make a mess of your life, God can come along, and when you recognize what is sinful and you recognize what you've done and you lay it before God and say, I've done this, please now use me, God will bring out of that mess a beautiful story. That's what God does. But do not in any way, shape, or form think that because you can get from here to here and then say sorry, that that permits or allows for a process to take place that is already dangerous and sinful. Because sin will always have consequence all the way through. Divorce will always have consequence. It's always painful. It's always a mess. It's always difficult. It always creates a world that leaves things lacking. Outside of the redemptive process of Jesus Christ, it is a world of death. But Jesus steps into that world and he begins to bring life back into death. Some of you guys are sitting here and you are remarried now to somebody else. And let me tell you what the Bible says you need to do. After you have examined your past and determined what the process was for your divorce and your remarriage, if you find that there are processes there that are lacking from the biblical standards for divorce and remarriage, then you need to confess that sin, grieve over that sin, go to God with that and say, I'm really, really bummed I just found this out. And then God says, you know what the crazy thing about covenants are? Once you make them, even if they weren't the greatest covenant to make, now that it's been made, I want you to stick to it. God wants you to take this marriage that you're in and he wants you to do with this marriage what you never did with the first one or the one before that. He wants you to take this marriage and make it a biblical godly marriage. In fact, as I've said to some of my friends that are remarried, the stakes are higher now. You've already walked into this. You have to make this one extra godly. Now, I'm kind of kidding. It's kind of a joke, but it's not really. It's that thing where you say, look, this is your shot to say, God, I'm going to show you that my repentance is real. In that I'm going to pour into this marriage biblically the way that I need to. If I'm a wife, I'm going to respect my husband beyond anyone's wildest dreams. If I'm a husband, I'm going to love my wife beyond anyone's wildest dreams. So that this marriage can at least become a picture of what the last one should have been. And then you can begin to see Christ work through the new marriage in a way that redeems the mess that was made with the first one. So, here's the deal. I know I'm kind of all over the place tonight. There's so much information to cover on this topic. Let me just lay things out for you in summary form in the next 2 minutes and 57 seconds and see if I can capture for you exactly what I'm getting at here. Let's just be clear on the points. Marriage is an incredibly important covenant that God laid out. We as the church should guard that covenant with our lives. I mean, that should be a covenant we guard with everything we've got. If there's a marriage falling apart around you and you're a Christ follower, you should be fighting for that marriage. You should be fighting for your marriage and the marriages of others and the marriages in your church. We should be doing everything we can to make marriages work because it's an incredibly important covenant. God hates divorce under any circumstances. There is no circumstance under which God goes, well, this one I kind of like. He hates divorce. He doesn't want it to be part of the picture. But divorce happens to us sometimes. When it does, if it does, we need to fight for the reconciliation of that marriage. If that seems impossible, we should submit ourselves to the church leadership, a healthy biblical church, and say, I need help. I have tried to reconcile. I've tried to make this work. It doesn't seem to be working. I'm in trouble here. And the church elders should step into that picture and say, we will help you. We will work with your spouse. We will see what we can do with you. If we cannot, under any circumstance, reconcile that marriage, then those elders take time with you and start unpacking what happened in that marriage so that we can determine where you stand for the future. In my humble opinion, based on my study, if I ended up in a divorce situation, which, may I just say, will not happen, and I only say that because of this, unless my wife runs away from me and goes completely insane and wants nothing to do with me, under that circumstance, that's the only thing I can ever imagine might happen, which I guess does happen at times, and she could. In that case, me personally, my conviction would be that I would look at that world and say, based on what I know scripturally, I'm not going to chance it walking into a second marriage. Because the call to serve God in singlehood is a powerful and wonderful and beautiful call. And I would walk into that proudly and exist in that with all the struggles that comes with being single. Having said that, based on my studies, I believe that there are very wise men, many of which I stand shoulder to shoulder with, that would say under the right set of circumstances, there is room for remarriage. But those right set of circumstances need to be walked through very, 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 very carefully and delicately with the right wise counsel in your life so that you know walking into that, that you are doing this biblically. And if you're walking in with the right attitude, wanting to honor God, wanting to live a life that honors Him, and the circumstances of your divorce are exactly right for the set of biblical precedences that allow for those exceptions, then and only then can you walk into a situation of remarriage and not allow it to be sinful. Are you with me so far? Now, if you have already messed up somewhere on that path, you have already done something that was not supposed to be done, then at that point, you step out of that story, and now you're in this story. God, I would like to confess that I have made a big mistake, that I have walked a path that was not intended as a godly, biblical path. I want to confess that. I want to renounce that. I want to honor you from here on out in my life, and I'm going to walk into this marriage I'm currently in. I'm going to make this the best stinking marriage on the planet. And then you fight for that. If you are single, you work with the wise counsel you have to walk into what the next step in your life is. But at the end of the day, I hope one thing about this whole picture. Actually, two things probably. I hope two things are true. One, that the importance of doing marriage right is huge. I mean, beyond huge. This is not one you want to mess with. Get into a marriage carefully and then stay committed in that marriage, both of you, so that you live a marriage that's biblical and honoring, because the reality is if you never get divorced, you never have to ask any of these questions. And if you are divorced and you are remarried, I hope that the whisper tonight is this, that we serve a God that is so extraordinary in His redemptive process, so extraordinary in His grace, so extraordinary in His love, that He will take any mess that's been made. And if you are willingly walking in, repentive and renouncing sin, He will honor that and He will make beautiful what was meant for death. And if we can take the marriages we have today and we can work on them with all of our might, biblically, we will become a church that is a light to the world in an extraordinary way. It is my hope, I want you to hear this. In fact, one of my stated goals on the Goals for Mosaic Church, that we would get the divorce rate in this church down to under 2%, which basically translates into zero for me. I just don't want to say zero because people would say that's unrealistic, but I feel it in my heart. I want us to be able to say in 30 years, nobody gets divorced at Mosaic. Nobody. Because at Mosaic, the body fights for marriages. The body helps with marriages. The body fights for people getting into marriage well. The young adults in our church have grown up in a church where they know what to look for and how to walk into it biblically. That the people getting married are getting married under wise counsel, and that the marriages that walk into trouble with the biggest family on the planet around them. And that is what we want to live. And into that church, as divorced people walk into the doors, we welcome them with arms of great and powerful love. And if they are single, we start the journey with them there. And if they are married to somebody else, we work them through the repentive process and start a new, brand new, wonderful, incredible, healthy marriage. But the bottom line is, marriages that come through these doors are worth fighting for. And I hope we fight for them with all our might. Your marriage is worth fighting for.